Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Yes, indeed. It is now 11 past, and Brother Moyo, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
Very well, thank you, my elder. Are you good?
I'm all right. How's your day been going?
My day's been good, man. Fantastic. It's been a very full day, I must say, but thank God that we're here working in the vineyard. Yours?
No, my day has been great. It's been excellent, actually. It's been an excellent day. There are things that there are times when you look at the way things are going and you say, but, you know, it could be better. And then you realize, you know, you have to be appreciative of how they've gone as well.
Oh, yes.
You can't always be saying it could be better.
True.
But recognize that, you know, the way it has been, we thank God that we have gotten to where we are now.
Fully agree with you, 100%. Now we are getting into a very another interesting lesson here: loving obedience to the Ten Commandments. And we know, by the way, that the Bible and the Ten Commandments are unchangeable, a perfect guide to a happy living, as we've learned over the last few lessons. So why do we find it so difficult to obey? And I think some of the things that we addressed yesterday. So, my elder, what does it mean that obedience should be the result of love?
So I actually thought about, it makes me think about the idea of what else could be the motivation behind obedience. And I recognize that sometimes what we could end up thinking is that obedience could be the result of fear. The same way that you could, out of fear, you could, you know, maybe the way that someone may have a pet dog out there, and that pet dog of theirs only obeys when out of fear for its master. But the problem with that is that once the master turns his back or her back, the dog may run around and go around the master's back and go ahead and try to do disobedience in secret. But when we look at the idea of obedience being out of love, it's a more powerful motivation. Actually, when you go to the Bible, John 14, verse 15, actually backs this up and says that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So it's not a kind of thing of saying that for me to love you, then you have to keep my commandments. Then I will love you. No, it's the idea of if you love me, then you will keep my commandments. Out of the love that you have for me will flow the idea of obedience. But I don't know, maybe if I was to ask the question, if we were to find another word for obedience, because sometimes when we think of the idea of obedience, sometimes maybe we feel like, oh yeah, that's the forceful forceful twisting of the will. But how would we define obedience, if I may put it that way?
Yeah, you know, doing God's will, I suppose, and without questioning, I think that without any reservations, as it were. I would believe that if you don't have reservations and questioning, and His word is the command, and I believe that would be obedience, eh? I do believe that it would be obedience. And of course, I would got to rule out a fear, because I don't think that if you are doing or things out of fear, it should then be called obedience. I don't know what that would be, eh?
You know what? I'm pretty sure. I don't know what you would call that. Yeah, I guess that would be called, it's definitely, you could call it obedience, but the problem is, it would be, I guess you could say, false obedience. It's more like just putting on an act. It's just acting, but it's not true obedience.
True. So if one is fearful and they're saying, well, I have to, because if I don't obey, the consequences are death, or eternal condemnation. So I have no choice here. I just got to do it because I don't want to die. So would you say that no, that's not the right way?
You know, so I think that it really comes down to where we start our perception from. Mm. If we start from the perception that sin is something that is good for us, and trying to avoid and being kept away from us is something that God is doing out of maybe trying to test us or just trying to prove us or just trying to force us into something, then indeed, yes, then we could come to that conclusion that, you know, obedience is something that is a horrible thing. It's something that's forced upon us. But at the end of the day, when you look at it from the point of view that, like what we looked at yesterday, where we were saying in our study that the commandments are good for us, the commandments are for our own good, and what is bad for us is actually sin, then the idea that we're being saved, not saved in sin, but saved from sin by Christ Jesus our Lord, then we recognize that what we're being saved from, that when we are obeying, it's not the obeying that saves us, but rather it is Christ who saves us to obey.
Yeah. Now, since Christ came and lived a perfect life, and we talked about this in the previous conversation just before ours, do we still need to obey the commandments? Because he already fulfilled the Lomos.
And I actually like that line of reasoning. Again, I would say it's as if, well, it comes from the precept of saying, what is it that we're being saved from? Are we just being saved to be able to sin? Are we being saved that we may have an excuse to sin? Or do we recognize just how much of a bad thing, or rather just how bad sin actually is? Let me put it like this. Let's look at the commandments themselves. Is there anything bad about these commandments? For example, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and any other commandments, as we find this repeated in Romans chapter 13.
Mm-hmm.
When you actually look at it, all those commands are not a thing of, these are all things that we would like done to us, to say that, no, I don't want anyone to have this envy for my things and covet what I have.
Mm-hmm.
I would not want someone to commit adultery against me, or even even be in that situation where your partner has committed adultery. You don't want to be in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
So we look at these commandments, and even if you look through all the first four and the last six as well, they're all good. There is nothing wrong with any of them. And I'm sure when we look through them all, there's nothing that we actually, that we, what we don't like is the fact that we fail at them. We fail to keep them. But this does not mean that the commandments themselves are bad. We talked about this yesterday as well. Just the fact that something is hard, or something that it is, that we cannot do, it doesn't mean that thing in itself is bad, or that it is, because it is difficult for us to do, doesn't mean it is bad for us. Just the same way you talked about the gym and how sometimes we feel like, oh no, I really don't want to go to gym. I don't want to work out. But that doesn't mean that those things are necessarily bad for us. It's the same with the commandments.
Yeah,
they are good. They are holy. They are just. But we find it so hard to do. But maybe the question would be, again, how are we to, because we want to live a life that is pleasing to God. While we have been saved, we also want to remain saved. So how is it, not that we keep ourselves saved? No, we don't. But we cannot say that we cannot continue to say that, oh, I have been saved, but then we are not saved in sin. We are saved from sin by the grace of Jesus Christ. So maybe the question would be, again, how do we do this? We cannot do it on our own. But how do we do this for ourselves? Now, we don't do it for ourselves. It's impossible. We should just say that flat out. We cannot keep the commandments of God by ourselves.
Yeah. If we cannot do it by ourselves, what should we then be doing?
Okay. Now, this is where I think our best shot is, and not even our best shot. This is what the Bible says. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, if we take it from the point of view of we put the commandments first and love second, then we're in trouble. But you remember how light and darkness cannot abide together.
Mm-hmm.
This is to say, if you go into a room, you switch on the light, darkness will flee from that light.
Yeah.
This is true. So, Christ and sin cannot abide in the same place. The Holy Spirit and sin cannot abide in the same place. I love this, and this is the thing that we should do in our lives. We invite Christ in. Revelation tells us that where Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice, I will open and open the door. Then I will come in and sup with him." Now, this is the idea that in the presence of Christ, sin flees. That means that if he is present, then sin cannot be present where Christ is present. We have to let him into our hearts. And I will, I love this story that Christ, well, actually, if you don't mind, I know we don't have a lot of time, but let me give this short.
Go ahead.
Very short story that I loved as an example. A woman who got married to a certain man, she, when she got married to him, it was wonderful. You know how it is at marriages, yep. how it is at weddings. It's beautiful ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of it, when they got home, the husband now had this entire list of things that he wanted her to do. You wake up at 4 a.m. to make sure that my all the things that I need are ready. You make sure that the house is clean. You make sure, and he had this entire list of things. You get one thing wrong and you'll face the consequences.
Mm.
Now, she lived under this kind of tyranny for so long, and she felt like I cannot bear it. But sadly, or maybe, I don't know what they would say, unfortunately, this husband passed away. Now, after he passed away, 5 years later, she met another man, fell in love again, and actually remarried. But with this new husband, she actually came to a place where she recognized what it is that she studied him out. She studied him out and found out, okay, this is what he likes, this is what he loves, this is what pleases him.
Mm.
And after 6 years, 7 years of the marriage, she looked back at all the things that she does in order to please her husband. And she recognized that, wait a minute, there's a whole list of these things. If I had been commanded to do these things, I don't think I would have found this to be tyranny.
Mm-hmm.
But because I love this person, I do them because I actually love them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we should get to when it comes to sin and God. We keep concentrating on how do we avoid sin, but we really should be concentrating on how do we grow closer to Christ. Because the closer we get to Christ, the further we will come away from sin.
Oh, beautiful, man. I think it's a beautiful point that we can end it at. My brother, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. It's been a fantastic afternoon together with you. I hope that the Lord's blessings follow you wherever you go.
No, thank you so much. And you have a blessed day and continue to walk with the Lord wherever you go.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.